So I did deliver a message at the feast in Sturgis where I was, and I'm going to bring this message as a split sermon version of it, because it's about optimism. It's about that the thought of Christ returning and implementing, you know, his type of leadership and rulership on this earth, where, you know, the evil that we see in today's world just won't be a part of human life. And speaking of human life, we are all here today because at one point we each had a mom who carried us in her tummy for 9 months or so. That's about as detailed as I'm going to get about describing that process. And to all of the moms out there, congratulations and thank you. Moms are the most important human beings on the planet. You will not convince me otherwise. Now, we are probably all familiar with the trimester stages of a baby in the womb, the nine-month period separated into three-month periods from conception to birth. But there is another way of classifying the stages of this life creation process. The germinal stage is the first 2 weeks after conception. Cell division begins within 24 to 36 hours. Once eight cells are formed, they begin to differentiate and take on certain characteristics that will determine the type of cell that they will eventually become. As the cell multiply, they also separate into two distinctive roles. The outer cells will begin to form the placenta, and the inner cells form the embryo. Now then things take off, and a series of hormonal changes come into play. For many moms, activities they previously enjoyed, such as, you know, drinking coffee or drinking wine, become less palatable. A website describing this stage indicates that perhaps this is nature's way of protecting the growing life inside a woman. To me, if there is credit to be given, how about we give God such credit? I mean, you could never convince me that life is some biological end result of time and chance. Life is a miracle. Now, the next stage is called the embryonic stage, which is the period of 3 to 8 weeks after conception. Now, this is the time when the mass of cells become distinct as human. The neural tube forms, which will develop into the central nervous system and the brain. Blood vessels will become, blood vessels that will become the heart start to pulse. You know, the head and the arms and the legs form. At the end of the stage, the eighth week, the embryo weighs just 1 gram and is about 1 inch long. The final stage is the fetal stage, which continues on through birth. The baby continues to develop all the internal organs and external features of a child as the baby grows and matures. Now, the absolute wonderment and complexity of a human being progressing through this creation process is just astounding. Convince me that this is not a miracle. I dare you. All of creation is a miracle. Stars and planets, rocks and trees, and animals and humans all came from our Creator. But a tree does not have a heartbeat. A rock does not have a heartbeat. We humans do. I want to start this message in Psalm 139, and we'll read verses 13 through 16 if you would like to join me in Psalm chapter 139. And we will read verses 13 through 16. Psalm 139, and starting in verse 13, the Bible reads, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned me, when as yet there were none of them. Now, I don't need convincing that human beings are miracles, as verses like we just read here describe the creation process. We are wonderfully made. Marvelous are the works of God. We were all made in secret in our mother's womb, skillfully fashioned. And God was there with us. He sees that tiny embryo even before it was formed. But here's a particular focal point from verse 16. God notes this in his book. Now, a Christian cannot believe that life does not begin at conception. These verses, among others, prove that God recognizes our life before birth. And God notes this in his book. Before birth, we are written in God's book, as noted here in Psalms. I find that to be remarkable. And I'll be repeating this often in this message. Now, our society dismisses God in the Bible, which is, you know, why abortion is actively promoted. We must stand strong. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah felt alone, but God told him that there were 7,000 who had not bowed to Baal. The churches of God are this modern day 7,000. I want to point out again that in what we read in Psalms, God has a book that he notes our life inside the womb. Now, what book is this referring to? Is this the book of life, which we read about in Revelation? Well, let's go to Exodus chapter 32. Let's read of the aftermath of Israel creating a golden calf while Moses was up on the mountain. Exodus 32, and we're going to read verses 30 through 32. So if you'd like to join me in Exodus chapter 32, we'll read verses 30 through 32 in that chapter. Exodus 32, and starting in verse 30, the Bible reads, "Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, 'You have committed a great sin, so now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin.' Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yes, now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written.'" Moses references a book which has his name written in it. Isaiah, Daniel, Malachi, and Paul's letter to the Philippians also reference such a book, or a book of remembrances, as some translations have it. And now let's go to Revelation to see the more familiar reference to this book. Revelation 3 and verse 5, if you would care to join me there in Revelation chapter 3. Let's read verse 5. We've read this many times. Revelation 3 and verse 5, the Bible reads, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, note that Revelation here uses the terminology blot out a name from this book. It's the same verbiage that Moses used in Exodus when referencing the book that God has written. Now, God is answering Moses here in Revelation, as well as speaking to all of us. I mean, certainly we are going through translations into English here, but more to the point is that names are in this book. Psalms tells us that we were written in this book before the days were fashioned for us. This is extraordinary. At conception, God writes our names in his book. God is an eternal optimist. Now, we should learn from this and follow this lead throughout our life. God documents each one of us before we are given the chance to follow his ways or before we choose to pursue wickedness. He gives us the benefit of the doubt. Our names are in this book right now. God doesn't wait for the white throne judgment or when first fruits will rise with Christ upon his return to write names in his book. He does this at conception. God is pulling for each one of us, and he gives us this encouragement. Our names are in this book right now. Now, we have the most difficult task in this age, the task of overcoming the world, but God is on our side, and our names right now in his book demonstrate this. Now, when God sent his son to earth, wisdom came with this event. God's word, documented by the law and prophets throughout the books of the Bible, was now being affirmed firsthand. Jesus, who is at one with God, spoke God's word in verbal form. Let's see a couple of examples of this. Mark 9 and verse 45. We're going to pick out a couple of verses here from the Gospels. First one, Mark 9 and verse 45. Mark 9 and verse 45, the Bible reads, "And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched." Now let's read a companion verse with respect to this message. Let's go to Matthew 19 and verse 17. Matthew 19 and verse 17. Remember what we just read in Mark 9:45? Jesus said, "It is better for you to enter life." He's talking about entering life. Let's see this again here. Matthew 19 and verse 17, the Bible reads, "So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life," again that phrase, enter life, enter into life, "keep the commandments." I want to, again, note these two verses. Jesus speaks of a time we would enter life or enter into life. Now, entering life, was that the time of our conception in our mother's womb? Nope. We can't keep commandments at this time, and we don't have feet that can cause us to sin. Is it the time of entering life? Is that our baptism? Or at the point of being saved, as a traditional Christian would equate to being born again? Nope. We do, however, need to keep commandments now, and we do need to strive to avoid the things in life that would pull us off the biblical path we walk on. But now is not the time Jesus is speaking of when he talks about entering life. Jesus is speaking of the age to come, when he uses the phrase enter life. The rich young ruler here in Matthew 19, who Jesus answers, asks what he should do so that he may have eternal life. And this is in verse 16. Well, this is life in God's kingdom. We enter this life when we are raised into spiritual brothers or sisters of Christ at his coming, or are later received into God's kingdom after the white throne judgment. So if that is entering life, when we become spiritual beings, what do our lives mean now? I mean, we are all alive at this point, and we've all been born from our mothers, and to those of us making the commitment of baptism, those are two examples of entering life. But it's not entering life as Jesus identifies the phrase to be. If we enter life someday, then what is the present life we are in now? Well, if Jesus references this as the time of God's kingdom, the beginning of spiritual life for us, our present life must be sort of a pre-life stage. We haven't entered life yet, as Jesus inspired us to think about it, right? We haven't been born yet, in other words. Well, that's very much like our lives in this present age are like the lives of a child in the womb. Our lives are miracles, just like the miracle of a child growing in the womb of the mother. And our entire life in this age is prenatal, according to the words Jesus used to describe entering life, a time of spiritual life in the future. Prenatal is defined as the period of time between conception and birth. This is when the child lives in the womb. And this is when we are living now, before we enter into life, eternal life. Our entire life we live now is lived in the womb of God's kingdom. And that's the title I have for this message, The Womb of God's Kingdom. Now, remember those stages of life from conception to birth? The germinal stage is those first 2 weeks where the miracle of life begins. That's when God's word clicked for us. That was our aha moment. We didn't have much of a foundation at that point, much like the cluster of cells in the womb at this stage. But God was calling us in our teen or adult life, just as he wrote our names in his book in our germinal stage in our mother's womb. Well, then things take off for us. As a mother begins to find things less palatable for the benefit of the baby, we start to recognize the things in our life that do not benefit us. You know, we begin to not find humor in twisted or off-color jokes. We can see the harm in various activities that do not promote love or compassion. We begin to form into a child of God inside this womb of God's kingdom. Well, the next stage is the embryonic stage. In the mother's womb, the mass of cells become distinct as a human. You know, blood vessels start to pulse. Every organ in the body begins to develop. Now, quoting from a medical textbook describing this stage, it is no exaggeration to say the embryonic stage lays the necessary groundwork for all the remaining stages of life. This is our baptism, our commitment to God. This is when we lay the necessary groundwork for the remaining stages of our life. Our life in the womb of God's kingdom rests on our commitment. Well, then the final stage, the fetal stage. All of the internal organs and external extremities grow and mature. You know, muscles strengthen, brain activity sharpens. Well, during this stage, the fetus develops a thick, waxy coating called a vernix. This coating protects the skin from becoming chapped or irritated by fluids in the womb. This is our life today as we grow and mature. You know, we strengthen our muscles and we sharpen our brain. We can read our Bible often and gather together at services as a way of honing our spiritual skills. We continue our spiritual growth to completion, just as the baby inside the womb grows. And God is right here with us, and he has our name written in his book. And God is on our side. He wants us to succeed. Let's go back to where we started in Psalm 139. This time I want to read verses 1 through 5 of that chapter, Psalm 139. And let's read verses 1 through 5. Psalm 139, and starting in verse 1, the Bible reads, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehended my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me." Now, while these verses illustrate the perfect knowledge of God, note verse 5, "You have hedged me behind and before." God has placed his hedge of protection around us. Well, this is very much like the vernix, that coating on the skin that protects the fetus in the mother's womb. God protects us in the womb of his kingdom, the age we are in now. Now, this does not mean that we go without trials, right? I'm a cancer survivor, and I bet every one of you can list out the struggles you have in life. And I'm thinking now of the hundreds of Israeli people, babies, who were murdered last week. And we can ask, where was their hedge of protection? Well, we have to take all of the Bible into account, where persecution and awful things will happen in this age. The examples of wickedness, however, do not refute what we do read in the Bible about God's protection. Now, this message is about our life in this age, this womb of God's kingdom, and how very similar it is to life in the womb of a mother. Life now is preparation for God's kingdom to come, much like a mother's womb is preparation for life in this age. Now, I mentioned earlier that I believe moms are the most important human beings on the planet. I don't mean to disregard or dismiss the importance of dads. I mean, it takes both to first conceive a child and then to raise a child once it is born. And while the world is filling up with single moms, whether by choice or by circumstances, it's not God's intent for his children. I mean, you can drive a car with your feet if you have to. It doesn't mean it's a good idea. But moms carry us in their wombs. Expecting mothers, they do not drink, they do not smoke, or live risky lives. They do not ingest too much caffeine, expose themselves to too much heat, nor do they ride on amusement park rides that may stop or start suddenly. Studies also show that moms should not change a litter box, take certain cold or flu medications, or use certain cosmetic products. Why? Well, because mothers are the hedge of protection for their babies, much like God is our hedge of protection now. You know, every heartbeat in a mother's womb is preparation for birth. Every heartbeat we all experience now is preparation for when we enter life, terminology that Jesus used for describing eternal life in God's kingdom. Every heartbeat indicates that we strive to exist. Every heartbeat is a miracle. Our lives, prenatal or postnatal, are miracles. Every moment of our life is sustained by God. He wrote us in his book from our very beginning, and he's rooting for us. God is an eternal optimist. Now, expecting mothers guard the child in their womb for the expectation of what is to come. We too should guard our thoughts and actions, for God gave us his words so that we may know what is to come. Let's pull out a couple of verses in Proverbs here. Let's start in Proverbs 23, and let's read verses 17 through 18. Proverbs 23, and we'll read verses 17 through 18, if you'd like to join me there. Proverbs 23, and starting in verse 17, the Bible reads, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, a future, in other words, and your hope will not be cut off." And now let's go ahead to the next chapter, Proverbs 24, and let's read verse 14. Proverbs 24 and verse 14. Where the Bible reads, "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect," in other words, a future, "and your hope will not be cut off." Now, these verses tell us to be on guard, to not be drawn to sin, and to use the wisdom that God gives us all. And both of these verses tell us that there is a future when we will enter life. Our life in our mother's womb prepares us for life in this age. And life in this age, while we are in this womb of God's kingdom, prepares us for when we truly enter life, eternal life. And both of these verses tell us not to lose hope. God, after all, has your name written in his book, and he is helping us, and he is rooting for us. You know, a child cannot make sense of the life outside of the mother's womb while the child is in the womb. Now, there are indications that at about 18 weeks, an unborn baby can start to hear sounds. At 24 weeks, a baby is more sensitive to sounds. And as a child continues to grow in the womb, the child will then start to respond to noises and voices. A baby's heart rate increases when the child hears its mother's voice, for example. But the amniotic fluid surrounding the baby muffles sounds. So hearing is not keen. And the rest of the senses do not give a child any indication of what is outside of the womb. And this makes sense because the child was not created to live within the womb. The child was created to live beyond the womb. And so too were we not created to live in this age. This is not our place. This is not our destination. God's kingdom is our destination. It's our place. And it will eventually be our home. We are simply living in the womb of God's kingdom right now. Home for Israel was the promised land, right? They had never seen it, nor had any of them been there before. The spies that were sent out into the land brought back astonishing reports, right? We know this. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. A single cluster of grapes had to be carried between two men on a pole. This was the land that God promised to Abraham long before Joseph brought his family to Egypt. This was home. Now, the expecting land of a child in the womb is life outside the womb. The promised land of Israel after leaving Egypt was the land of Canaan, God's promise to Abraham. And the expecting and promised land for us is the time to come when God will dwell with us, as we read in Revelation chapter 21. Now, there's a sentiment that we've all heard before. Now, this phrase has been generally attributed to a Roman naval commander who just happened to live during the early stages of the New Testament church in the mid-first century. But this phrase became a popular idiom from what the American novelist J.T. Bickford wrote in 1857. Here's what he wrote. "Describe me a home, Willie. Well, I should say, a woman of Kate Bentley's appearance. Nay, I say, not a wife, but a home. Home is where the heart is, Katie. Home is where the heart is." Now, we know in Matthew 6:21 that Jesus tells us that where our treasure is, that is where our heart will be also. But this sentiment is throughout the Bible. Now, we're still in Proverbs. If we go back to Proverbs chapter 4, and let's read verses 20 through 23. Proverbs chapter 4, and let's read verses 20 through 23. And I'm going to read from the NIV translation. It reads better for this particular message. Proverbs 4, and starting in verse 20, the Bible reads, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." I like how the NIV translation puts this: guard your heart. Now, God has a hedge of protection around us. Our names are written in his book, after all. We don't write things down that are not important to us. Do you think God writes down our names because we are not important to him? But we can help with this goal we have in entering life, eternal life. We can supplement God's hedge of protection. Proverbs here tells us, in fact, to do this while we are in this womb of God's kingdom. Guard our hearts. Guard our steps we take. Guard our names from being blotted out of God's book. Guard our hearts. Because our destination, our eternal life with God, is our future home. And home is where the heart is. A child in the womb does not yet understand life outside the womb. I mean, how could it? How could the child? The womb is preparation for that life after birth. And life in this age is a preparation for God's kingdom, our future home. And like a child in the womb, we can't always understand what our future life will be based on our present circumstances. I mean, you may have health issues, financial issues, relationship issues, or a host of other trials. Stand strong, because this is not your home. God has prepared our home with him when we will all eventually enter life. Guard your heart, because that is where our home will be. Stars and planets are miracles. Flowers and birds are miracles. Our lives from conception are miracles. And every sunrise is a miracle. You know, before a sunrise, it's dark. Colors are not evident. You can only make out faint shadows and shades of darkness. If the sun never rose, this is what life would be like. But that was not God's intention, a life of no light, no colors, only dimly visible shapes. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:12 that we see through a mirror or a glass, dimly or darkly. Well, this describes this age very well. This describes this age of being in the womb of God's kingdom. This describes the prenatal age of every child in the womb. But that is not God's intention for us. This is not the home that God has prepared for us. Let's close out here in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. This is a familiar scripture to us, but it rounds out this message nicely. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible reads, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Now, we don't know fully what our life will be like when we enter spiritual life. A child in the womb doesn't know what life will be like after birth. Before a sunrise, there's only varying shades of darkness and uncertainty. But God has our names written in his book, and he's prepared our future home. We just have to make sure our heart is where this home will be. And our Bible gives us the instruction, and it gives us the inspiration for making sure our heart is properly set. You know, there was about 2,000 years between Adam and Abraham. And there was about 2,000 years between Abraham and Jesus. And there has been about 2,000 years between Jesus and today. So think of this as living now in the third trimester. And we are very late in this trimester as we live in the womb of God's kingdom. We are all going to enter life very soon. Plant and sow the seeds we find in the Bible, the verses of instruction, the verses of inspiration. We will enter life soon. And let's be the optimist that God is as we look beyond the miracles of this age, the stars, the trees, the birds, you know, the sunrises, All of these are miracles of creation. And our own creation at conception is a miracle. God, after all, has your name written in his book right now. Now, if you take one thing from this message, let it be that God is an optimist. He has your name written in his book right now. It is not blotted out, and it is not written in pencil. Let's be like God and be eternally optimistic about our future home, regardless of the challenges we all may face right now. Let's be eternally optimistic regardless of the wickedness we see around us in this age. Keep God in your heart. Keep Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, in our heart. Because home is where the heart is. Happy Sabbath, brethren.